All right, good morning. Title of my message today is Another Unusual Thanksgiving Message. Another Unusual Thanksgiving Message. And this morning I want us all to remember that everything we have and everything that we are comes from our loving God. This Thanksgiving week should be a time when we publicly acknowledge our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to our friends, to our families, to the people that sit down at the dinner table with us. And while Thanksgiving Day is this coming Thursday, we should our giving of thanks should not be limited to just a one day per year event. We should daily express our gratitude to our God. Our Thanksgiving should be something that we do frequently. We should develop patterns of thanksgiving in our lives. God's people, I've said before, God's people need to be grateful people. And I'll speak more about Thanksgiving shortly, so hang on and lean in as I tell a story from a few weeks ago. In October, Pastor Ronnie and I had the opportunity to take a group of young people to see the Christian music group For King and Country. And just a few days before this concert, someone in charge made the decision to change the venue from the Charleston Coliseum, you know, the big one, what we used to call the Civic Center. They changed it from the Coliseum to the Memorial Auditorium. That's the small arena, you know, the old one. And so we were all a bit disappointed, and because that change was made so late, all of us who had tickets for the big arena had to wait in line to get our tickets exchanged for tickets for the small arena, because the arenas are different, they're shaped different shapes and different sizes, and the numbers don't line up. So we had to wait in line to get new tickets. And the first thing I noticed as we were approaching the Memorial Auditorium was that a traveling preacher had set up a microphone and a speaker, and he was positioned right outside the ticket booth. And let me tell you, his speaker volume was turned up to loud, very loud. Some of his church folks were there with him, and they were handing out little business cards. And I accepted one of their cards, and as I looked at the card, it had the question written on it, "Got fruit?" question mark. And I thought, well, that's odd. Got fruit? I think that's a kind of play on words from the old TV commercial that said, "Got milk?" And so this card said, "Got fruit?" But they weren't asking whether or not you had fresh produce in your house. It had nothing to do with actual fruit. And I'll get to the "got fruit" part later. So while we were waiting in line for what seemed like an hour, I was listening to what this traveling preacher had to say. First, I thought he was there in protest. I thought he was protesting this group For King and Country. But he actually said, "I don't know anything at all about this group that you're about to see." And I thought, well, that's strange. Why would you come and set up right outside the arena? That made me scratch my head there. I found that to be a bit strange. And as I listened to him, I recognized some of what he was saying is coming right from the Bible. This preacher said, "Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And I immediately recognized his comments as the words of Jesus. And I looked it up. That's Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 and 18. And so as I'm listening, I'm thinking, okay, I'm on board, Mr. Traveling Preacher. Where are you going with this? And then I heard this man say something that was very strange. This preacher said, "You may have heard that the Bible teaches us that we are justified by faith." And just to provide a quick definition for everyone, let me come back to that statement in just a moment. But what does it mean to be justified? Justification is the act of God where He declares us to be righteous through His grace, which we accept through faith. The blood of Jesus Christ takes away our sins, and in their place, His righteousness is imputed to us. So the Greek verb that is translated to justify is sometimes translated to declare righteous. We see the Apostle Paul use this same verb 22 times. Justify, to declare righteous. When you hear the word justified, think of it this way. Justified, it's justified, never sinned. Justified, never sinned. Being justified is being declared righteous before a holy God. Okay, so back to the traveling preacher. He made the statement, "You may have heard that the Bible teaches us that we are justified by faith." But let me tell you something. The Bible doesn't say that. And then this traveling preacher went on to tell us that we're not really saved if we're not doing good works, if we're not doing good deeds, if we don't got fruit. And I'm thinking, now it all makes sense. At that point, I was pretty much done listening to this traveling preacher. My first thought was, I can't believe this guy is promoting a works-based salvation. The Bible is very clear that we cannot do enough good works to earn our salvation. But this guy is telling us that our salvation comes from some mixture of grace and works. That's simply unbiblical. It's unbiblical. Wait a minute. Yes, the Bible absolutely does say, it does say that we are justified by faith. In fact, the Apostle Paul spent a great deal of time making that point in the book of Romans. The Bible teaches us that no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. That's Romans 3:20. In other words, you may have kept God's law perfectly in your entire lifetime, but you will never be declared righteous by God simply through your own efforts. Our scripture reading today comes from Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I'll be reading from the New International Version. And some of these verses are very familiar to us, especially verse 23. We use that one a lot. But I want us to clearly hear the truth of God's word about righteousness through faith. And as I read, I ask you to forgive me for pausing in the middle of the verse. I generally don't like to do that. I hate to do that, but I'm going to do it for effect here. So bear with me. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 21. Again, from the New International Version, Romans 3:21. But now, apart from the law of righteousness of God... Let me start again. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through what? Through what? Good works? Good deeds? Good fruit? No. No, not even close. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Thus reads the Word of God. Father, You are a great and awesome God. Lord, we are here today to worship You in Your home. And God, we ask that You would open our minds to Your truth, Father, that we would see clearly, God, the truth that You have sowed into to Your Word for us to learn, Father. God, for be any misunderstandings, God, or things that we have, the things that we need to unlearn, Father, we just ask that You just, again, open our minds to Your truth. We praise You in Jesus' name. Also want us to keep in mind what the word grace means as well. Grace. Grace is the act of God giving us something that we cannot earn. And when you hear the word grace, think of it as receiving something good that you didn't deserve. Something good that you don't deserve. And as I continue reading Romans chapter 3, listen carefully to whether you hear the words works or faith in verse 25. Verse 25, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished, He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. The Bible clearly defines our justification by faith. If we were truly justified by works, in other words, if it were true that we could earn our salvation by doing enough good deeds, well then some of us could brag about it more than others, right? Well, I've done more good works than the next guy. I've earned my salvation more than he has. Does that sound biblical to you? Of course not. But it doesn't end there. Continuing in verse 27, Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. And as I read through these verses, I wondered how that traveling preacher handles Romans chapter 3. I wonder, has he even read this chapter of the Bible? And in the next chapter, Romans chapter 4, Paul describes how Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Paul said that even King David acknowledged that God credits righteousness apart from works. Psalm 32, the words of King David. Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. And if we continue reading in the book of Romans, we see it yet again in the first verse of Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This traveling preacher perhaps had good intentions. Traveling for hours to preach to total strangers, it must have been very difficult to do that. But this traveling preacher was delivering a false message. He then pointed to the book of James as evidence that we need good works for salvation. But he's missing the point. The good fruit that Jesus describes, the good deeds that James describes, these come as the result of our salvation. They're the evidence of our salvation, not the cause of our salvation. Here it is again in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. We know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ. And not the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. I'm telling you right now, it does not get any clearer than that. It doesn't get any clearer than that. And I have to say, it's a bit disheartening to see how anyone who calls himself a preacher of the Word of God could be so wrong. So wrong about a Bible truth that God makes so clear to us. God doesn't scan the earth looking for lots of good deeds and declaring certain people righteous based on having the right quantity of good deeds. Yep, he did enough good deeds. Yep, she did enough good deeds. No. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That truth is abundantly obvious to anyone who reads God's Word. And if you're thinking, well, Pastor Matt, man, you need to cut this guy some slack. This traveling preacher, you need to cut him some slack. He was just telling us that we're not really saved unless we got the evidence to prove it, right? We're not really saved unless we've got a long track record of good deeds and that we've got fruit, right? That's what he's saying. To which I would say, remember the thief on the cross that was crucified right next to Jesus? The thief acknowledged his sin, and then he acknowledged the perfection and the deity of Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Luke 23, verse 42. And a response from Jesus in 43, verse 43. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. This thief did not have years of good works to show everyone that he was saved. Yet our Lord and Savior confirmed that this dying thief would be in heaven on that very day. And you might be asking, what in the world does this have to do with Thanksgiving? And I can dogmatically say that I'm getting there, so y'all need to be patient with me. And I thought to myself, For a member of this traveling preacher's church, I thought it must be awful being a member of that church, always wondering if you had done enough good works to earn God's favor. It must be hard going to bed every night pondering whether your good deeds for the day were sufficient for you to be declared righteous before a holy God. It must be difficult living life every day, not knowing whether you're on the road to heaven or on the road to hell, because you might not have done enough good things in your life to earn your salvation. Well, I'm here to tell you that we don't have to live like that. The Bible teaches us otherwise. And I found it ironic that the words of Jesus that this traveling preacher took out of context, those words of Jesus were about false teachers. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is warning us about false prophets. He calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. The test, the way that we can determine whether someone is a true teacher or a false teacher, is by examining their fruit. That's the whole context of the fruit. Twice in this passage, Jesus says, "By their fruit you will recognize them." Matthew 7:16 and again Matthew 7:20. The traveling preacher took Jesus' words out of context and said those words were about salvation, when in reality Jesus was talking about how to detect false prophets. And I should point out that Jesus' warning about false teachers, it has been echoed by the Apostle Paul, by Peter, by Jude. It's all throughout the Bible, and I've spoken on this before. Every generation of believers has had to fight this battle. The Bible warns every generation of believers about the dangers of false teachers. And I've explained to Pastor Ronnie and Pastor Bruce that I believe God has burdened me with identifying and driving out the false teachings out of the church. On Wednesday nights, I'm in the middle of a series of teaching with our youth group as we look at cults. Cults who have either intentionally or perhaps just carelessly distorted God's word to teach their own theology. Please don't be offended if I question you about a book that you're reading or a podcast that you listen to or a series of sermons that you're watching on YouTube. Always, always, always compare what you're hearing with God's word. Always. And if some TV preacher tells you to ignore God's word, steer clear. If some preacher tells you that he's got insider knowledge directly from God, don't worry that it doesn't line up with the Bible. I've got the insider knowledge. Run away. Run away. The Bible says we must be discerning. We are taught to test every spirit to see whether it's from God. We do that by having a greater understanding of God's word. Our generation should be thankful for the gift of God's word. See, I told you I was coming around to Thanksgiving, right? Our generation has been given an enormous gift. We have in our hands the completed Bible, the Old and the New Testament. We have four gospel accounts in the New Testament that give us vivid details about the life of Jesus, what he taught us, how he told us to live, how he showed us not just by words but by example. There are many, many generations that came before us that never had this gift. I'm thankful that we have God's word in a language that I can understand. But I'm afraid that many Christians will never pull their Bibles off the shelf and dust them off. We should be thankful that we live in an information age where God's word is available 24/7 wherever we are. And we can look up the meanings. We don't have to be necessarily Bible school scholars. We can look up the meanings, if we want to, of the original Hebrew and the original Greek words. And we have at our fingertips lots of commentaries and sermons from God-fearing preachers available to us on personal devices that we keep with us all the time. What a gift. And if we don't know, for example, definitions of the word justification or the word sanctification, we have the means to find out. We should be thankful that our God has given us these resources. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 105 in the Old King James Version. And perhaps more importantly, most importantly, we should be thankful that our salvation does not depend on us doing enough good deeds to earn our place in heaven. Are you glad? Are you glad that God doesn't just weigh the good things in your life with all the bad things you've done and somehow put them on the scale and make a decision about your salvation that way? I know I am. I sure am glad God doesn't do that. I'm relieved that the truth is, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, so that no one can boast. It's Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. The only boasting we're allowed to do is to boast about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He willingly gave up His perfect, sinless life on this earth, and He endured the cross. Why? For the joy set before Him. What God offers to us through the blood of Jesus Christ is the greatest gift ever given. He exchanges our sin for His righteousness. And when we confess our sins and believe, we become right with God. We are declared righteous before God. We are justified by faith. Being with God in a perfect relationship with Him is the reason we were created. It is the pinnacle of human existence to be with God for all eternity in heaven. And if you're hearing me today and what you hear seems new to you, listen up. You might find it strange that the good news of the gospel, it actually starts with a bit of bad news. The bad news is that we are all sinners from birth. We are born into this world already separated from our God. We are all born wanting to fulfill our own desires, wanting to rule ourselves, being full of greed and lust and total selfishness. That's the state we reside in before we come to Jesus. Jesus told us that we must be born again. The sins that we've committed against God must be divinely removed from us if we want to be justified before God. And there's only one way that it happens. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He gave us the opportunity to be declared righteous to a holy God. How? By doing good deeds? No. No, by believing in faith. By trusting that Jesus is who He said He is. By believing that when He rose on the third day, that He conquered sin and death. And by believing that He invites all of us to partake of His living water. Jesus is the Son of God. He alone is Savior and Lord. Salvation from our sins is a gift of God that we receive through faith and repentance. I believe that Three Mile Wesleyan is a grateful church. I believe that. And for good reason. For good reason, we have seen our God do amazing things right here in our building. And believe me, I'm paying attention. Here are some things I believe about our God. I believe our God delights in answering our prayers. I believe our God is a multiplier of blessings. I love saying that. Our God doesn't just add blessings together. He multiplies blessings for the benefit of His people. I believe our God delights in meeting our needs. I believe our God delights in watching us respond with tears of joy when He does the impossible for our benefit on our behalf. When He finds a way where there is no way, and we respond with tears of joy, I believe God delights in that. And I believe our God can do the impossible. All things are possible through our God. Today I want to close our message with the same conclusion that I gave last year. So yeah, that's right. When I was right here 1 year ago today delivering what I called an unusual Thanksgiving message. And so I titled today's message, Another Unusual Thanksgiving Message. It's a little different than what you might be accustomed to. So here's my closing. This Thanksgiving week, and every single week, let's all decide to be grateful to our God. Let's decide to be grateful people. Let's also decide to be thankful to the people that God has put into our lives. And let's remember, all glory goes to God. Let's choose to be a grateful people. Let's choose to fulfill our mission on this planet, to bring praise and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer as we move to our final song. Father, you are a great and awesome God. Lord, we thank you for your word that divides marrow and flesh, God. It's a double-edged sword, God. It teaches us what we need to know about you. And God, we are thankful, Father, that our salvation does not depend on our good works. Father, we are grateful that your word teaches us that our salvation is a gift from you that we accept through faith and repentance. God, what an awesome gift. Father, we freely accept your gift of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, God. We repent of our sins. God, we come to you today with the saving knowledge that we could be born again, Father, if we just come in faith. Father, what a gift. Father, you made it so easy that a child can understand it, Father. A child can understand it, and a 99-year-old is not too feeble to become saved, Father. Lord, for those who are maybe watching here today who don't know you, Father, I just ask that your hand would move through their heart, Father, that you would stir them up, Father, that they would come to a saving knowledge before the day is over, that they would come to you and repent of their sins, that they would declare Jesus to be Lord and receive the salvation through faith. Father, we thank you that we are justified through faith and not by works. Father, as we dismiss here today, God, we just ask that you keep your word in our hearts this week, God, that we might not sin against you. We praise you in Jesus' wonderful name.